Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the Announce Table / Fake Monday Morning Show. I'm Brad Gilmore. I'm joined by my guest, co-host, whatever you want to call him at this time. He is Mr. Kyle Hubbard.
What up, what up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty damn good. How are you doing?
Hey, dude, I can't complain, man. You know, it's been a crazy last few weeks here. Definitely since the last time we talked, a lot's been going on. When we're recording this, Reality of Wrestling is now in 20 major markets, 40 million homes. We debut tonight on the Soul of the South Network, so I'm pretty happy about that.
As you should be. That is amazing. Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, man. I can't wait till you come back to another Reality of Wrestling show.
It's going to happen.
It will definitely happen soon. It'll happen soon, and I just got to plug it. April 19th, so not this Saturday, but next, is the next Reality Wrestling Live television taping featuring Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. You can get your tickets right now. They're in limited availability on realityofwrestling.com. But Kyle Hubbard, we're here today to talk about a few things that happened in this these last few days, which have been crazy. Crazy last few days. We're fresh off of WrestleMania 30, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Right off the bat, though, what do you think of WrestleMania 30 overall?
Overall, loved it.
I thought it was a great Mania, man. I really did. I put it up there.
Oh, for sure. I absolutely agree with that. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And my stream via the WWE Network was perfect the entire time.
Mine was too, man. No problems at all. I was very, very happy about that thing. But, yeah, I thought it was one of the greatest WrestleManias I've seen. I've been watching WrestleMania on pay-per-view for 10 years now. And from 20 to 30, I got to put 30 up there, way up there, maybe toward the top of my list.
I would not argue with you, sir. I definitely agree.
And a great weekend. You know, you had the Hall of Fame on Saturday. Obviously, WrestleMania Sunday. The Raw after was also amazing. But let's touch on this. I'm gonna preface this by saying you're gonna hear some stuff that me and my broadcast colleague Matt Topolsky talked about with WrestleMania after this right here. But I went to go to the movies last night, Mr. Hubbard. I went to go see Captain America, and I was sitting in the movie theater, and Matt Topolsky calls me, and I send him a voicemail because I'm in a movie. I'm trying to be considerate. And he leaves me a voicemail saying, "Hey, check the news. You're not going to believe it." And I was like, "What does that mean?" You know. So I go to Twitter and I just refresh my page because I'm assuming that whatever's going down will be on my Twitter timeline. And
what else is Twitter for?
Exactly. It's just a 24-hour news cycle or something like that. But anyway, no. So I refresh my page, and the top thing I see is the Ultimate Warrior has passed away. I was like, are you kidding? This can't be real. He just went in the Hall of Fame on Saturday. We saw him on WrestleMania Sunday during the Hall of Fame segment. Then we saw him on Raw the next night. He looked great to me.
He looked very healthy, I have to say.
And Tuesday night, the Ultimate Warrior passes away. So these last 4 days have been insane for the Ultimate Warrior. What were your first thoughts? Because I think I broke the news to you, correct?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I was in bed. I was dozing off. I got a text message from you, and you informed me of his fate. And the lack of details right now is what I find the most disturbing. Maybe I'm just burnt by Benoit, but I'm expecting the worst because the timing is just so tragically bizarre. The timing is just unreal. I mean, seriously, like you said, after this weekend, after his speech on Monday, I want to know how he passed.
The only thing I've heard, and this can't be confirmed, was he was walking out of his hotel room with his wife, and in Arizona or somewhere, not Arizona, or maybe I don't know where it was. And he just grabbed his heart. I mean, he grabbed his chest and collapsed is what I've read online. I think that was according to TMZ. I don't know how true that is. And then some fans said that when they saw him on Monday at Raw when he shook the ropes, they said that he looked like he wasn't feeling well. It looked unhealthy, which I didn't see.
I didn't see that at all.
I thought he looked great the whole pay-per-view and, the whole weekend. Ultimate Warrior has tragically passed away. It's just I still don't think it hadn't set in really yet how big that is, but like he's literally just came back to the WWE this weekend, made his big return to Raw, I think first time since 1996, and tragically passed away. So I mean, condolences to his family and his his wife and his two daughters.
Sure, the silver lining in all of this, and it's hard to find one, obviously, but the fact that he was able to get into the Hall of Fame, he was able to see this past weekend. He was able to live that moment, which I can only imagine was a glorious moment for him and everyone that cared about him. I'm just happy he had that, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree too, man. You know, at least he got to, be there and give his – as he called it, the most anticipated Hall of Fame speech of all time. And it was a great, great speech. I enjoyed that whole Hall of Fame induction between him, Jake the Snake Roberts, who gave a great speech. Scott Hall was short and sweet. I really liked Scott Hall's speech. And then, of course, Ultimate Warrior. And, of course, we can't forget Mr. T's speech as well.
Yeah, of course not. I've never loved my mother more than after Mr. T's speech.
After Mr. T's speech, I had a newfound love for his mother and my mother as well, which I read today that he was very sad that he didn't get to finish his speech. And I wanted to be like, hey, Mr. T.
That was a low point of the whole weekend. Mr. T backing away from the podium, repeating the word sorry over and over again. It was very sad.
It was sad. Kane was the guy to do it. Mania 30 was great. Let's just touch the high points real quick. Cesaro won the over-the-top rope battle royal. Very great to see
that. Perfect choice.
Way better than the Big Show, which even if they went with the Big Show, I wouldn't have been mad at, but because it would have made sense for Andre. But I'm glad to see Cesaro. And now Cesaro's a new Paul Heyman guy. What are your thoughts on that, Kyle Hubbard?
I think it can only produce good. I mean, Cesaro is one of the most exciting cats right now. Paul Heyman has been consistent his entire time in WWE. And I only think good things can come from it.
I agree. It's weird, though, because, Paul Heyman goes from being the most hated guy to to receiving a huge pop when he came out for Cesaro later in the night.
That's just a testament to Paul Heyman. People love to hate Paul Heyman because we're supposed to, but deep down, we all fucking love that guy.
Oh, yeah,
and
awesome.
Every mark in the world loves Paul Heyman, as they should.
Awesome, awesome moment. John Cena goes over on Bray Wyatt, which was unexpected, I believe, by most people, but I understand why they did it because of what happened later that night with the streak.
I got you. Yeah, definitely.
But let's get to it right now. By the way, great entrance by Triple H. Awesome match with him and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, of course, going over.
Yes, I want to talk about this match just real fast.
Okay.
Were there callbacks to the WrestleMania 20 match with Benoit to you, or am I crazy?
No, there definitely was. I felt some Benoit. I felt a lot of Benoit and Bret Hart that night from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, for sure. But there was a specific moment in the opening match with Triple H and Daniel Bryan. Where Triple H has him in the crossface, and he does the exact same thing where Brian's close to the rope, where he flips him back over into the middle of the ring, the same thing Benoit won with at 20, which I thought was a cool and disturbing tribute to the guy.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't catch that. I didn't think about that to just now. But, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's exactly how it happened in WrestleMania 20.
Right. That's how it ended at 20. So I thought that was definitely a callback to that match.
But great opening contest. I couldn't think of a better match to open. I actually loved how the whole card went by. It was just awesome. I wish the Shield got a little more time. Real quick, also, before we get to the streak, your thoughts on the opening segment with Hogan?
That was amazing. I mean, so awesome. Hogan almost went off on a terrible, terrible
Silver
special spin off on Seth. Yeah, but by the time Stone Cold comes out, you don't give a shit. By the time Rock comes out, you're not in the moment. You're just like, oh, my God. That's freaking Mount Rushmore right there. Just minus one.
Yeah, that's almost the full Mount Rushmore of wrestling sitting right there. And it was a great way to start. WrestleMania 30, of all things, great way to bring that show together at the beginning. But then let's get to it. Let's just get to it. I know this is all everybody's been thinking about. This is all we've been tweeting about. This is all we've been texting about. Facebook posting on people's walls about Kyle Hubbard. The streak is over.
Man. Such a strange thing to say, isn't it?
Oh, I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. We had our big two-hour special on the streak, and we both said at the end of it, we never want to see the streak end. And right. I actually said if the streak ever did end, whoever beat him would be the equivalent of being the world heavyweight champion forever.
yeah.
So, but Brock Lesnar defeats The Undertaker after 3 F5s, 1, 2, 3, in the middle of the ring. We were both watching on the WWE Network. What were your initial thoughts?
Shock. Complete shock. I was just waiting for the referee counted 2 feet. I was waiting for the swerve.
I was waiting for Hogan to come out and be like, it's not going to end like that, brother.
Yeah, I was waiting for something like that. Like, you know, but, I mean, dude, the crowd reaction was amazing because everybody was legitimately shocked. Legit. I was shocked.
I heard people were crying. I heard people were leaving the arena. They didn't want to believe it. There was like a hush fell over the crowd on the initial 3 count, and then a second gasp came over when they saw the 21-1 graphic, which colleague Matt Topolsky alluded to later in the show. And it was just such a crazy moment. I actually remember watching it, and I put my head down. I was like, no, this can't happen, because I thought we were all of our wrestling fans pretty certain on, like, it's not going to go to Brock. Like, if anybody, it's not going to go to Brock. You know, that's like Henry defeating him. You know what I mean? And we knew that wasn't going to happen. And it did. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar defeated The Undertaker. When that third F5 came around, I was like, what's going on? The third F5? You know, I don't like that. And when Brock didn't hesitate to cover, that was like, oh, what's going on? 1, 2, 3 happened. I was just like that black dude in the front row. I could not believe it.
Dude, honestly, the air was sucked out of me and the arena when that 3 happened. And, oh, my God. There was nobody they could have put on ringside to better sell the complete shock of the whole thing than Paul Heyman. And, honestly, I think people are going to look back on this as one of Paul Heyman's greatest moments, performance-wise, in his entire career.
Oh, you know, I say this definitely puts Heyman toward the top. He and Bobby Heenan are the two greatest managers of all time.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Bar none. And his promo the following Monday on Raw. Well, let me ask you this. After the initial shock wore off during the Divas match, you know, that's where I kind of was able to digest it. Which, I hate to say this, I was actually looking forward to the Divas match. I don't know why. I mean, I'm a fan of Total Divas, Kyle Hubbard, so I was ready to see one of the Bellas walk out with the title, and that didn't happen. But, you know, the arena didn't come back around until midway through the Triple Threat match. That's how shocking it was.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was definitely – it was a punch to the gut. It really was. But I understand why they couldn't put it last. You know, you wouldn't want to end on that note. You know?
You definitely wanted to end with Daniel Bryan, but it was so hard. I would hate to be those. I'm sure none of the Divas knew that was going to happen. I'm sure it was a well-kept secret. So right when they saw Brock Lesnar win, I'm sure they're like, shit.
Why can't we have a moment?
Why can't we ever have a good moment at Mania? God.
I read somewhere, and again, I cannot validate the legitimacy of any of the stuff I read on the internet, but apparently, it rings true. The only people that knew that Taker was going to lose were Triple H, Stephanie, Taker, Paul, Brock.
Vince,
of course.
Such a shocking moment. And The Undertaker visibly upset, had tears in his eyes when he was leaving the ring. But I did hear, like, you know, the match that itself wasn't my favorite.
No.
And I heard the Undertaker had a serious concussion in the early moments of that match and ended up having also a neck injury. He was taken to the hospital immediately afterward. So, I mean, that just probably has to play into it of why the match was slow-paced.
Very slow-paced,
but
yeah.
The match, honestly, doesn't matter. The 1-2-3 was the only thing that mattered, and the streak being over.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I think
everybody watching up until before the 3-count was like, well, this is not going to go down as the best Mania match. I wonder who he's going to face next year.
Yeah.
What are they going to do next year? Like, I bet people are just like, okay, well, this is kind of ho-hum. You know, this isn't on par what's come before. So everybody's, like, looking ahead. And then that all comes crashing down within 3 seconds.
Yeah, man. It was so crazy. Such a crazy thing to witness as a wrestling fan. 3 seconds, the streak is over. And The Undertaker, do you think it's his last match?
Yes. If I had to say one way or the other, I'll say yes. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be shocked. But I think, you know, the fact that he collapsed when he got backstage, he had to go to the hospital, is a testament to the fact that Undertaker has sacrificed so much and has given the fans so much that maybe it's time for him to walk away.
You know, and I, if it is his last match, you know, I wouldn't be mad at it. I'm a guy who I actually like to see people's last match. I like to see them lose, you know. I like to see them go out on their back. I mean, I just know that's like the tradition. And you know, it just makes sense to pass the torch and make the next guy. And to me, this sets up Brock Lesnar. This is my prediction. I'm telling you right now. This sets up Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. And Brock Lesnar will be the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Okay. All right. I'm going to remember that.
That's my prediction. That is what I'm thinking. And that.
So Brock's the champ by SummerSlam.
By SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It seems like the only logical thing to do after defeating the streak.
Okay. Let me give you my prediction.
All right. Let's hear it.
It's similar. It's in line with yours. I do think that he's going to be in an event at SummerSlam with Daniel Bryan, but I think Daniel Bryan's going to win, and he's going to be the hero that conquered the beast that ended the streak.
Well, hey, we will. Those are both solid predictions. I just see Brock Lesnar getting the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at some point this year. I'm thinking it's at SummerSlam. I don't know, but that promo by Paul Heyman the next night almost turned Brock Lesnar babyface. Paul Heyman was so good in the ring that next night. It was awesome.
There's nobody else who could have done it, man. Honestly, Paul Heyman's involvement in this whole thing is spectacular.
Honestly, man, and now Cesaro's a Paul Heyman guy, which makes me think Brock's going to go away for a little while. That's why I'm thinking SummerSlam, he's the champ. Let's talk about Paige is the new Divas champion.
Yeah. Paige, I'm not very familiar with. I did see her at NXT Arrival in the best Divas match I've ever sat through from start to finish, I have to be honest.
It was
fantastic.
Awesome match. Yeah.
And I think Paige and AJ, they're definitely an interesting mix. Them at odds with each other, I think, is very cool because they're kind of in the same vein. They're both kind of the anti-Diva, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to have them butt heads, I think, is definitely going to be a nice change of pace.
Bikini model, as Chris Jericho says.
Right, and it's not like AJ against the popular girls, you know what I mean? It's like two chicks that are actually can go, you know what I mean? And Paige is like, what, 21 years old?
Something like that.
God, I'm so old. But yeah, I think it was cool to see the crowd. The post-WrestleMania crowds are always awesome. But to see them... get so invested behind a Divas match was really cool because that's a rare thing. And I think Paige and AJ could be the foundation of a brighter Divas division, you know, moving forward.
One thing I will say about this whole weekend, WrestleMania 30 going into the Monday Night Raw, is that WWE laid their groundwork for all of their future stars. We have four NXT people either coming up or were on the show. You have Bo Dallas is coming, which is the brother of Bray Wyatt. And then you have Adam Rose coming up from NXT. And then you had Paige and Alexander Rusev both make their official debuts on Monday Night Raw. You know, Cesaro, you got to think about The Shield, Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. These are the guys, yeah, the Wyatts. These are the guys who you're going to see at the WrestleManias here in the next 5-6 years.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think that WWE is definitely in a – they're in a forward-thinking state right now. They're definitely building the foundation for tomorrow. And I'm excited about it because I think that the talent that they have on the roster right now is pretty unprecedented. I mean, there's some guys that are great, like great.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So many. I mean, you look at the WrestleMania card and top to bottom, it's just like, wow, these are all compelling guys. They're great at what they do. Some amazing characters. I mean, Bray Wyatt is awesome. So
and the
awesome.
Thing about this last WrestleMania 30, I was invested in every single match.
Yes.
I wanted to see every single match. There wasn't a match.
Even
I was
the
like,
Divas
okay.
match, I wanted AJ to win. Like I actively had someone that I
wanted Nikki Bella to win. I like Nikki Bella. Didn't. She didn't though.
And now she's out of the title picture.
Well, now I think they're building something between her and her sister.
Okay, are they going to get John and Daniel involved?
I hope not. I think they're building something between the two sisters because they had that little interaction at WrestleMania. But great WrestleMania. What do you give it out of 10, Kyle Hubbard?
Oh, man, no less than 9.
No, yeah, I got to give it a solid 9. There are some people who are shitting on WrestleMania 30, and I'm like, you're retarded. Daniel Bryan finally became...
WrestleMania was great. It was awesome. It was one of the best events that I've seen live, like that I've watched as it was happening. Probably ever. It's been top 10.
Yeah, no, it's top 5 for me. And I want to say that there's a great thing on the WWE Network right now, which is Daniel Bryan's journey to WrestleMania 30. I suggest everybody go watch that right now on the WWE Network. It's so awesome. So awesome. I'm so happy to see Daniel Bryan because I'm a Daniel Bryan convert. I was not a fan of Bryan for a long time. And I finally kind of came around probably like at the night after WrestleMania 28. I was like, you know what? I actually like this guy. He's kind of entertaining. And here we are. He is the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I want to ask you this one last thing before we wrap this up and we go into my segment with Matt Topolsky. Hubbard, do you think, judging by the end of Raw, we are going to see The Shield versus Evolution anytime soon?
Sans Ric Flair, right?
Sans Ric Flair.
Yeah, and I think this is just completely just fanboying prediction, but I think War Games, perhaps?
I've heard War Games. I've heard that thrown around, too. I think it's a possibility.
Given the amount of times they said war, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I don't know. That would be awesome.
War Games would be awesome with The Shield and Evolution 2.0.
With Kane.
So, yeah, let me ask you this. We're going into Extreme Rules as the next pay-per-view. Who do you think Daniel Bryan's defending the title against?
Ooh, man, I can't give a great answer right now, but I'm going to say Cesaro because that's what I want.
All right, the way I look at it, there's four guys that could be a possibility. Five if you want to include Brock Lesnar. But you got Cesaro, who's a possibility, Brock Lesnar, Triple H, Batista, or Randy Orton. But the fact that you have those five guys, and I'd be interested to see any one of those matches – Extreme Rules makes me really happy for this card coming up. I mean, for this year is what I mean. Not this card.
Well said, my friend. Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
And John Cena is not one of the guys. John Cena is not one of the guys who I think he's going to be in the title picture anytime soon, which I think is great. I think John Cena will definitely be a 15-time world champion sometime, but I don't think it's anytime soon.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I cool off on John Cena. Like I kind of like John Cena when he's not in the main event. Like the role he's playing with Bray is like, yeah, this is what you need to be doing. You're well established. You know, help these guys out, which I think he actually wants to do. But they're just now starting to do him like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't need a world title to be important. He's John Cena.
No. Okay, but before we go,
go ahead.
The streak ending, the actual moment, and. One of the greatest moments ever. Maybe not greatest, but one of the most profound moments ever.
Agreed.
Definitely. Never forget it. I will never forget it, ever.
I would venture to say it's the most shocking moment in professional wrestling / sports entertainment history.
I would agree with that. I have never been so dumbfounded by something they've done before. I've never been so certain about something that didn't happen.
Exactly. And me too. To oh, that's a great way of putting it. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, and I give them credit for it. You know, I think this will be debated for ages and ages and ages, But my takeaway from it is it, like we just said, one of the most memorable things ever on a great night will forever cement WrestleMania 30 as one of the most important nights in wrestling history.
I can't agree with you more. My initial shock, I was a little angry they ended the streak. My heart was broken, but I understand why they did it. It was time. It was the Undertaker's decision from what I've been told and from what I understand. Yeah. He wanted this to happen in 2010. Didn't get his wishes, but he got it right now. WrestleMania 30. You got to leave him at WrestleMania 30 with something memorable. That opening segment, memorable. That moment Daniel Bryan won the World Heavyweight Championship, memorable. Undertaker streak coming to an end, the most memorable moment, I believe, in WrestleMania history and the WWE in general.
Agreed.
Nobody will ever forget that. Kyle Hubbard, we got to talk again soon, man. Maybe heading into Extreme Rules, we're going to figure out what's going on there.
Absolutely, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. I'll see you soon. Slick Rick, man. I'll see you soon.
Hell yeah. You'll be there?
I'm going to try my best, my brother.
That's all I can ask.
All right, man. Take care, bro.
All right, you too, bro.
And now, that was Kyle Hubbard. We're going to transition into my talk with one of the voices of Reality of Wrestling. His name is Matt T.P. Topolsky. Y'all check it out. But before that, I want to send my condolences out to the Ultimate Warriors family one more time. I cannot believe he is no longer with us. His legacy, his impact on the business will be remembered forever. And I'm so glad that he got his moment in the Hall of Fame. So well deserved. Couldn't think of anybody who deserved it more. On that note, we're going to transition into my talk with Matt Topolsky. But one more time, Ultimate Warrior. Such a sad day. Such a sad day. But y'all check it out. This is me and Matt Topolsky talking about WrestleMania 30, the Hall of Fame, and the night after. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show, Fake Monday Mornings channel. We have another great podcast for you. Now, you've seen it. You've seen me do it millions and millions of times. You've heard me more so talk about my love for professional wrestling. Now, being on the indie circuit now for about over a year, I'm learning the business. I'm learning the ropes. You know, it's funny, you know, the marks or the smarks, as they're called, think that they know how the business was, because I am one of those. But when you get into the business, completely something different, man. And right now, I want to introduce my guest at this time. We're going to be going over the whole WrestleMania weekend, Hall of Fame, the show itself, and the Raw after. I want to welcome my guest. He is one of the voices of Reality of Wrestling.
Whoa.
Well, you're one of them, right? And one of the voices of High Octane.
Yes.
You're all over the place.
Your humble co-host.
Oh, there you go. Will. Yeah, the co-commentating colleague.
Yeah.
Matt Topolsky.
Ah, thank you for having me, Bradley.
Hey, you're welcome. Our, as Booker refers to you, as TP.
Yeah, I like it.
Matt T.P.
I like
Topolsky.
As he told me, it's better than Tom. You know?
It's better.
You know what? I'll take it.
It's
I'll
better
take
than
it,
Tom.
Yeah.
So, Matt, WrestleMania 30 just happened. We're doing this on a Tuesday. The fans are hearing this on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
WrestleMania was this past Sunday. It was quite a show. First time ever debuted and broadcasted on the WWE Network.
Yeah.
Which was pretty awesome.
I got to tell you something. I was a little worried.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I was a little worried at first because it sounded like the show was being broadcast through Jimmy Hart's microphone.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the beginning.
Yes, but once they got through those audio issues, man, what a performance. I mean, hats off to them. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are of how many people streamed that pay-per-view live. You've got to imagine it was a lot.
Well, they just released the number of people who signed up for the network.
Yeah.
It was like a little north of 650,000.
Okay. Well, I would imagine that damn near close to all of those 650,000 people were watching it. That was a pretty damn good stream.
Oh, yeah. No,
for
it
that type
held
of
up. It held up the whole time for me. I didn't have any problems with it. Did you?
I had a couple of issues. I was watching it on the PlayStation 4.
Okay.
The PlayStation Network or whatever, But for the most part, man, I got to tell you, it beats paying $60.
I have UVerse, and I listened to another podcast, and a guy I've had on my show before, the Solid Monster from the Solid Monster Sounds Off.
Yes.
And he recommended to everybody, hey, buy it through regular pay-per-view because he was worried about the stream.
Yeah.
I was too. So I went to UVerse, you know, I went to the little on-demand menu, mm-hmm. and when it said WrestleMania $70, I'm like, that's 7 months of the network.
Yeah.
I'm going to risk this one, you yeah. know? And I did, and the stream turned out perfect. But the night before was the annual and prestigious Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Yes, and doesn't it get better every year? I mean, just in terms
awesome.
Of the maybe not the the Hall of Fame inductees per se, but the pageantry and the presentation, it is phenomenal. What
they did,
done.
They did the whole red carpet this year
yeah.
with Maria Menounos,
yeah.
and who I like Maria Menounos.
I'm a fan.
I'm a fan.
Yeah,
I'm a fan. I'll just put it out there.
Yeah.
I like Maria Menounos. But they had the whole red carpet thing. Book and Charmel were walking the red carpet.
They looked fabulous, as always.
Triple H, Stephanie, yeah. You know, everybody, pretty much everybody was there, did the red carpet, and they were asking them predictions or whatnot. But the ceremony itself was awesome. We had 7 inductees, right, into the Hall of Fame?
I believe so. That's an educated guesstimate on this. Six or seven.
But it was Lita.
We had Lita. We had Carlos Colon.
Jake the Snake.
Scott Hall.
Ultimate Warrior.
And who are we forgetting? Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer.
Yes.
There's got to be another one, right? Mr. T.
Mr. T.
Oh, how could we forget Mr. T?
Because you hate your mother.
Because I hate my mother, yeah.
Yeah.
What about that speech? Okay, let's go through it real quick. Were you excited with the candidates? I mean, the inductees this year? It was a pretty good class.
I was excited that Scott Hall and
Razor Ramon.
Oh, I'm sorry, Razor Ramon.
Yes.
I was very excited that Razor Ramon's one of my all-time favorite superstars. And to see Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, whatever you call him, in the condition that he's in, he looked great. He looked healthy.
He did.
To see the Clique get back together.
At the end, yes.
That was just, for me, as a wrestling fan, that was about as cool as it gets at the Hall of Fame ceremony. Jake the Snake Roberts, I was excited about that as well. It's
good
awesome.
Speech. His voice sounded insane, though.
Well, I mean, he's always kind of had that, you know, deep, raspy
yeah.
kind of deal going on. But
I guess just with age,
it gets a little bit more distinguished. It's sort of like, I don't know, his voice sort of reminds you of like a nice Kentucky bourbon. You know? no, Jake Roberts, that was about as real a speech as you're ever going to hear. And it's hard not to get caught up in the emotions of all that stuff, especially some of the things he said about his family and getting a second chance. And you really look at him and you say, God, I mean, this guy has lived 1,000 lives.
Dude, yeah, he is. He's burned the candle on every end possible.
Yes, he has. And the impact that Diamond Dallas Page has had on both of their lives. I got to say, Brad, if Diamond Dallas Page is not inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame in the next few years just for his recent contributions to the business and what he has done in affecting so many lives in such a positive way, I think that would be a real travesty.
Hey, I agree with you, and I'm going to be talking to Diamond Dallas Page here soon on the Brad Gilmore Show in about a week or two. I can't wait to ask him everything that happened about that weekend because WrestleMania 30 weekend is going to be something that is talked about for all time. You know, there are a few WrestleManias that just don't get brought up that often.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like WrestleMania 8, you don't hear a lot about.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 16 or WrestleMania 2000.
WrestleMania 2000.
You don't hear a lot about.
Yeah.
They talk about the triangle ladder
WrestleMania
match.
11.
Yeah, right?
Do you know what the main event of WrestleMania 11
Lawrence
was?
Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, boy, they tore the house down.
Oh, they killed it.
Yeah.
And right before them was Nash and or Diesel and Shawn Michaels, I believe.
Which, to this day, I don't understand why they didn't go on last. But anyway.
With Jenny McCarthy and Pamela Anderson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But anyway.
I digress. But WrestleMania 30 will be talked about forever. Back on the Hall of Fame real quick. I kind of want to get through it. Lita had a good speech. Went a little long, but it was good. Let's see. Jake the Snake. Would you say Jake the Snake's speech of the night? Because it's either him or
Warrior.
I
would say Jake's speech had the most substance of the night. I would say Razor Ramon's was the best speech of the night because it was short, sweet, and I love the way he ended it.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
What did he say?
Something to the effect of bad times don't last, but bad guys do. I love that.
And the way he delivered it, he just looked right in the hard camp. Bad guys do.
Yeah.
Chico.
Yeah.
You know.
And, I'm going to just mark out on here if we keep talking about it because Razor Ramon, just one of my all-time favorites. I'm very happy that he was inducted.
Oh, yeah, me too. And they said, though, they inducted him as Razor Ramon so that in a couple of years they can do an NWO induction.
I love it.
I love it too, man. Yeah. Hey, Hogan even said himself, he was like, if Ric Flair has two Hall of Fame rings, I want two.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have the Horsemen in there, you have to have the NWO in there. Two of the greatest stables of all time.
Yeah, but just the three members of the NWO, the principal three.
Oh, no? You don't want anybody else in there?
I can go without Vincent. Yeah. Scott Norton.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
No disrespect to Scott Flash Norton.
But, you know, yeah. I don't know if he's Hall of Fame worthy based on
what about the NWO Sting?
NWO, the fake Sting?
Yeah.
I'll put fake Sting in there.
Yeah, put fake Sting in
there. Fake Sting will get in there before real Sting.
You know, real quick, I was thinking about this the other night. Of, you know, because every year they induct somebody into the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame. This year, obviously, was Mr. T. When is the fake Bill Clinton from WrestleMania 10 going into the Celebrity Hall of Fame?
Oh, he's got to be in there soon. Who do you think? Who else do they have? I mean, Drew Carey's in there. Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know anymore. Are they going to put Kim Kardashian in there soon?
Oh, man. Snooki.
Snooki should go in. Maria Menounos will, and Bob Backlund will induct her for some reason. Because they're best friends, right?
But, God, can we please get Randy Savage in there?
Oh, man. I'm hoping next week. And I am next year.
And I hear the backstory behind it, and I don't know whether it's true or not, in that he needs to have his brother and his father inducted with him at the same time. That was the deal.
Yeah.
Just make it happen. Because
just do it.
Mach needs to be in there. I mean, he should be on the Mount Rushmore wrestling. He should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
Mount Rushmore wrestling?
I mean, he's one of my favorites. I would argue that.
Like, my favorite wrestlers of all time are Ric Flair, Macho Man, and Undertaker.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
We might need to have two Mount Rushmores, then.
There needs to be eight faces, at least.
Because I'll tell you what, in that ring to start Mania on Sunday, there were three people that could be on that mountain.
But here's the thing. I actually came up with the definitive Rushmore. Like, if you have to go just on contributions,
yeah.
I think you have to go Bruno, Hogan, Austin, Cena. But Bruno could not be there, maybe. But Rock is like the biggest star outside of wrestling ever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he grossed $1.5 billion in movies last year.
No, The Rock is a brand. I mean, The Rock is one of the most recognizable celebrities of all time.
Wait, okay, well, I want to talk about The Rock. Real quick, last thing about Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Ultimate Warrior said he wishes it'd be the WWF again.
Yeah.
Can we get the F back in is what he said.
Yeah.
Would you like that? Would you like if they were the WWF and never changed the name?
Honestly, it really doesn't matter to me because, you know, to me, this is just the evolution of the product.
Yeah.
And this is where it is today. And I got to tell you, if you watched WrestleMania 30 and if you watched that Raw the night after, there's no question in my mind as a fan of World Wrestling Entertainment that they are not headed in the right direction. They're not headed in a direction that I'm excited about. They absolutely are. So call it F, call it E. You know, it's funny because you can have the little T-shirts with the pandas on them hitting each other with steel chairs and whatnot.
But,
you know, it's funny. I'm a huge Bobby Heenan fan. And Bobby Heenan, in his Hall of Fame speech many years ago, talked about how ridiculous he thought it was that WWF had been changed to WWE because of all the animals that actually existed in the WWF at the time. And he referenced the Killer Bees and the fact that he did commentary with a guy named Gorilla and he was named Weasel. You know, and kind of just went down the laundry list, and it was one of the great Heenan moments. But, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm just happy with what they're doing right now. It makes me grin as a fan. So
all right, so here it goes. Yeah. Here's the big time. We're going to go through the WrestleMania 30 card.
Oh, my.
Everyone listening knows there's one particular moment that we're going to spend a lot of time on, but we're going to try to get through everything
else. The Divas Invitational?
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Because it was a long match, right?
Get some.
Anyway, the Vicky Guerrero Divas Invitational, by the way. All right, let's start off with the kickoff show. It was a two-hour kickoff show. I was watching on the network the whole time.
Yep.
Booker was on there with Josh Matthews, Alex Riley, Shawn Michaels, Trish Stratus, Jimmy Hart. All came through. Great. And then on the pre-show was the first match of the evening, which was the Fatal 4-Way Elimination Tag Team match for the WWE Tag Team Championships, which saw the Jimmy and Jay the Usos, Diego and Fernando Los Matadores with El Torito, the Real Americans, which is Cesaro and Jack Swagger with Zeb Coulter, and finally Ryback and Curtis Axel, also known as Rybaxel, Great naming here in the creative department. But no, what did you think of the match first off?
You know, I thought it was a great way to get things kicked off.
Good match, right? I thought it was a pretty good match.
I thought it was a pretty high energy match. I'm a huge mark for the Usos.
Yeah, me
too. I love the Usos, and I hope that the straps stay on them for a long time because they are a far and away the best tag team in WWE right now.
What did you think about it being delegated to the pre-show though?
Man, it's crowded. I mean, yeah. this is WrestleMania, and there are a lot of guys fighting for their spots. I mean, how do I feel about that? Probably as good as I feel about, you know, Dolph Ziggler finishing fourth in the Rumble. But I mean, it is what I mean. Look at a guy like Fandango. He goes over on Jericho last year.
Yeah,
and he's stuffed midway in the Rumble. It's just, and it's not a that's not a dig on Fandango, who is a Johnny Curtis, a tremendous wrestler.
Yeah, great worker.
It's just the fact that there is so much. We're entering, in my opinion, an era in WWE, kind of like what we saw at the beginning of the Attitude Era, in a sense that you have all these guys that are going to turn into mega breakout stars. And that's why it's so damn crowded there right now.
But that being said, you know, at least we saw the tag titles defended on WrestleMania,
yeah.
Be it on the pre-show or not. They still competed in front of 75,000
And the
people.
Tag division's come a long way in last year and a half, 2 years. It really has.
There
and
was none.
Yeah, like, and a lot of ago. That, I mean, if not all of that, credit goes to Triple H for making that a reality. And I love tag team wrestling. I'm glad to have it back. I mean, I remember how exciting it was. One of the most exciting entrances you'll ever see on a pay-per-view is that SummerSlam from Wembley when the Road Warriors come out on those motorcycles.
Yep.
And that's tag team wrestling right there, moments like that. And the Usos are trying to rekindle that, and they're doing a hell of a job at it. So.
They're definitely doing great. Usos went over in that match, came down to Jack Swagger and Antonio or Cesaro versus the Usos. Usos picked up the victory, and then Swagger loses his mind, puts Cesaro in the ankle lock. Zeb Coulter's trying to break it all up. Ends with the big swing on Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro just throwing his hands at Zeb and Jack Swagger, thus seemingly ending the Real Americans, which I'm a little sad about. I know Cesaro needs his big singles run,
yeah.
But weren't the Real Americans just so great?
Well, they were great in large part because of Cesaro.
Cesaro. Well, and Zeb. You can't discredit their
I love Zeb's character. And some of the things that he was saying, which they dialed back on considerably.
Yeah, a little bit.
but I just hope he gets to keep the theme song because I freaking love that theme song.
Oh yeah, yeah, real.
It's pretty awesome.
Real like it's a badass news thing. You
yeah,
know what I mean? It's
yeah.
just great.
It's like it should be the.
It's what Bill O'Reilly wished he had.
It should be the new Star Spangled Banner.
It should be. It should be. The old one sucks.
Yeah.
As Daniel Tosh says, does any of you have it on your iPod?
Yeah.
You know? So in end of the Real Americans, and that played out on the Raw the next night, but we'll get to that. But really the first real opening match of the night, WrestleMania 30, the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
Mm-hmm.
No America the Beautiful, was there?
I don't recall.
I don't remember America the Beautiful.
I don't think that there was. I mean, if there was, at least it wasn't on screen.
Yeah. You know? I think maybe Lillian sang it.
You know, I was actually a little surprised that there was no Vince either.
Vince.
I was disappointed by that. I would have loved to see him kind of
do the welcome to WrestleMania.
Come full circle. That would have been really cool.
But the WrestleMania starts, and then they say, please welcome your hosts of WrestleMania 30, the Immortal Hulk Hogan. Real American plays, 75,000 people on their feet. He comes down, and the first thing he says is, it's good to be back in the Silver Dome, Jack. And then the commentators start cracking up.
It was great.
And then he says it again.
It was great.
Crowd starts chanting, Super Dome.
It was great.
Super
you know
dome.
What that told me? It told me a couple of things. Number one, the biggest icon in the history of this business is – he's got some serious butterflies.
Yeah,
even now, after everything that he's been through, I think that right there told the story of how monumental this WrestleMania was and that moment was for everybody close to the business and involved in the business, himself included. And as a fan, that made me smile inside.
I thought it was great, man. It was funny. And then he's like, it's all about making moments, Jack. You know, brother. And right when he said that, the glass shatters and out walks Stone Cold Steve Austin.
God, what a pop.
And he gets in a face-to-face stare down with Hogan.
God.
If you want to see me whip Hulk Hogan's ass, give me a hell yeah. 75,000 people again, hell yeah. Doesn't do it. But, you know, we didn't think he was. Starts kind of praising Hogan, you know, blowing sunshine up his ass. Yeah. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Well-deserved.
But did Austin believe everything he was saying?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Because I heard, like, back in the day there was, like, some friction between them.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they never got together for that big WrestleMania match. There's those matches in WrestleMania history that should have happened and never did. The two that come to my mind.
Flair Hogan. For the title.
Yep, and Austin and Hogan.
Austin Hogan. But, yeah, those have been great matches. I was happy with Hogan Rock. I thought it was a cool moment.
To this day, Hogan and Rock is my favorite WrestleMania match of all time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, people will argue, well, it wasn't the best chain wrestling in the world. But come on.
Do you watch wrestling for chain wrestling?
Yeah, the theatrics of all. Well, I mean, well, that's where we can get into my friends that talk about the difference between live pro wrestling and shows. seen that on Facebook a lot. But point being is that those two made magic at WrestleMania 18. And I've probably watched that match 1,000 times because of that moment when he hulks up.
Oh, yes.
And
they go
and
insane.
People are coming out of their freaking skin.
Yep.
Because of that. And, So Austin comes out, huge pop, goosebumps, and then The Rock after that, I mean.
And it's just, he walks out to the ring, man. And even though we saw Rock at last year's WrestleMania, it felt like we hadn't seen him in forever.
Yeah.
Because he felt like The Rock and not Dwayne The Rock Johnson, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
And he came out there, cut a promo. Finally, The Rock has come back to WrestleMania, come back to New Orleans, which means The Rock has finally come back to the Superdome.
Yeah.
And what a way to open WrestleMania 30.
It's just incredible.
Into the beer bash.
We've never seen that before from those three, and we'll never see it again. And I'm okay with that. Again, just what a way to start the show. And honestly, they could have spent another 30 minutes out there, and I wouldn't have cared.
Oh, no one would. Everyone would be like, all right, cool. Let's just watch it.
Yeah.
It's like a live Steve Austin show.
Just put an acoustic guitar in Rock's hands, you know. Give one to Austin, too, because he did that during his heel shtick with Kurt Angle.
I was listening to Austin today on his show, and he was talking about his original idea for what he wanted to do at Mania. He went to Vince, and he knocked on the door, and he's like, I got an idea, Vince. Vince is like, what is it?
This is for Mania 30?
This is for Mania 30.
Okay.
He goes out there, and he says to Vince, I want to sing Jambalaya by Hank Williams Sr. for the opening of WrestleMania. And Vince went with it. Vince's like, all right, let's talk to Kevin Dunn. And Kevin Dunn was like, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Which would have been equally as great, but
yeah.
I'd prefer to see the
I think
three
that
would have
been a bit unusual, but hell, Stone Cold Steve Austin could do anything. I remember when I went to WrestleMania 25 when it was here at the at Reliant, or as Hulk Hogan would call it, the Astrodome.
Yeah, exactly.
And just seeing him come out in the ATV and slam a couple of beers and raise hell and then just leave was fantastic.
It was awesome.
It was worth the price of admission.
Definitely. Now, man, where are you? We're way far into this, and haven't even gotten to a single match.
Yeah,
sorry. At all. It's all good.
Do this, people.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
The first match, going into Mania, what did you think the opening match was going to be? I figured it'd be, the Shield and Kane.
I thought it would be Bryan and Triple H, and here's why. Because the architecture of this WrestleMania is in many ways similar to 10.
To 10 with Bret Hart?
Yeah, with Bret and Owen, and then Bret going over and winning the belt.
From Yoko.
And having the big moment. And so I thought that they would go ahead and do that, and they did. And, man, I just love Triple H's entrances at WrestleMania.
Oh, he always does it. He always does it. I'm never disappointed.
I mean, straight Game of Thrones Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was definitely awesome. So, yeah, that was the first match. Triple H, along with Stephanie McMahon, came out, and Daniel Bryan came out at the beginning of the show, which I was like, man, don't you want to save that to the end? Just have everyone waiting for that first Bryan entrance?
Yeah.
But such is life. I thought it was smart to start off
Question.
With it. Yeah.
Not taking anything away from Daniel Bryan. Love him. But why was he wearing Uggs?
I don't understand what those were.
What?
I hated them.
Was that like some sort of like eco fashion statement or something.
I hope to God he doesn't wear those again. They were so terrible. Because at first I thought it was part of his entrance or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. He has like goat fur or something like that. Because I'm a flying goat.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna
Is that what he's? I didn't even think about that.
That's what I thought. I was like, okay, it looks like goat fur. All right, cool. You know, that's funny. You know, kind of B plus player with goat hair, right? Whatever. Like, I get it. But when he didn't take them off, I'm like, it made his legs look bigger. You know what I mean? Like, his look like disproportionate.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever. But the match was excellent.
It was awesome.
Great match.
It was tremendous. You knew those two were going to have a great match. I don't think that anybody could have anticipated the in-ring chemistry would have been that good. I mean, I hope they wrestle again.
They have to.
I mean, those two were fantastic. Great. They had great contrasting styles. I mean, anytime you have a guy that is a high flyer and a hybrid, and you have a guy who is a total powerhouse and a brawler, and they get together and they have the skill and ability of a ring general like a Triple H and a superstar like Daniel Bryan, my God. I mean, it's going to be magic every time. And what a way to start off the show.
And you know what? I finally have – it's gotten over with me. I like the short hair Triple H. I like it. I like it better than long hair.
Yeah.
For some reason, it reminds me of just like he looks like the boss now.
Yeah.
And it's literally like your boss is just kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Good symbolism.
I'm down with it.
I like it. I like it. I know that's a weird side note, but we're talking about the attire.
Well,
I mean, listen,
every detail counts.
Everything counts.
Yeah.
Everything counts. But Brian went over 1, 2, 3 with the flying knee, as expected.
Mm-hmm.
You expected that, correct?
Well, I thought they may have thrown one more swerve in there. Because if you noticed, the host of WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan, really didn't do all that much that night other than the opening. And I thought they may have done some kind of deal where maybe Bryan got screwed or something, and then Hogan came out and reversed the decision somehow.
It's not going down like that Silverdome.
Yeah,
check.
And it became like a four-way in the main event or something like that. Like, I thought they might have gone that direction.
Which, I wouldn't have been
Which I would have been fine with, too. But, you know, we talked about this when we did the podcast together several weeks ago about when I said, you know, if they put Bryan over Triple H and then have him win the title at the end of the night, that would be the most over anyone. I mean, you can't push a guy through the moon more than that.
Yeah, that's the ultimate.
And they did it. And that's just, man.
So Daniel Bryan wins, but Triple H attacks him, damaging his shoulder, quote-unquote, very badly.
Mm-hmm.
But which led us into our next match, which was The Shield, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins, against Kane and the New Age Outlaws, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
And literally, if you blinked, you missed this match.
Yeah, I did miss it because I went to the refrigerator to grab a beer. And
the match was 3 minutes long.
The Shield's entrance was longer. This, again, is a great example of when I say it's real crowded right now. Seth Rollins is probably the most explosive worker in the world. I mean, watch this guy. Like, God, I can't wait for him and Daniel Bryan to get together at some point, hopefully in the future.
That'd be awesome.
I think they'd have some great matches. Roman Reigns, I mean, he looks like he could be the next thing. And Dean Ambrose, I mean, just screams Rowdy Rowdy Piper every time I see him. I love these guys. A huge fan of The Shield. But listen, they needed to get that match over with as quickly as possible.
I guess they're running short on time. So, boom, they got all their high spot, all their stuff in. And I heard Billy Gunn actually ended up, like, rupturing something, like a lung or something.
Man. I mean, it's a young man's game.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. New Age Outlaws. Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, at least Shield had a match on the card.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would like for it to be a little bit longer, but whatever, it was
good. I'm just glad they're not split up.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're running with this babyface gimmick, and we'll talk about that with Raw. Then the next one was the 31 man. There's actually 31 men in this Battle Royal, which no one has been talking about.
Yeah, I think that may be kind of kayfabed a little bit, similar to WCW and their 60-man over-the-top Battle Royal.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could fit 31 men in that ring.
Hey, I'm reading right now that they're actually 31 instead of 30. But anyway, the 30-man over-the-top battle royal for Andre the Giant Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro, who we saw earlier in the match, I mean earlier in the show with the Real Americans, ended up, I call it Hoganing, but he picked up Big Show, power slammed him over the top rope to win the battle royal.
Whoever came up with that spot, I want to shake their hand and thank them as a fan.
It was awesome.
That right there is just what an, first of all, what an iconic image, and secondly, can you think of a better way to pay tribute to Andre?
Exactly.
It's awesome. And then by doing so, you put over a guy that so richly deserves it in Cesaro, who is another one of these guys that's just going to be a huge, huge freaking star now. And I'm excited. I mean, a huge Cesaro fan too, you know. I'm marking out for this whole damn thing so
this
far.
Whole thing is great. Yeah. So let's keep going, because we got to get to the big matches here.
Yeah.
Which this was in the kind of lost in the mid card, but John Cena and Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Was a singles match. Bray Wyatt's entrance, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Love the live entrances.
Yeah, they had not only did they have the music playing, they had that voodoo belly dancer chick beforehand, yeah, which is really cool.
And it looks like Bray Wyatt upgraded and bought some clothes from Urban Outfitters for this thing.
Yeah, it looks like he slimmed down a little bit, too.
Yeah.
He looked good. Bray Wyatt looked good. Mike Rotunda would be proud. So everyone expected Bray Wyatt to win this match. I did. That was my prediction.
I did as well.
I thought it made sense. Put him over at the biggest show of the year, against Cena. But the superhero that he is, Super Cena, maintains a victory against Bray Wyatt. Your thoughts?
This is where I'm conflicted with everything that's going on right now. And this could speak to my lack of experience and lack of knowledge about the business. So I'll preface it by saying that. However, I don't understand how we can continue to push a character that represents so much of what happened in the 1980s and at the same time call what this is the reality era.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense to me going in the direction of, oh, well, he's going to push John to the brink and John's going to do something that he's going to regret. And meanwhile, every single other person on this roster right now is willing to do whatever, align themselves with whoever,
yeah,
in order to be the guy.
Yeah.
So how can John Cena continue to say, I'm the face, hustle, loyalty, respect, and all this happy nonsense, when everybody else on that roster is willing to do whatever it takes? I mean, Antonio Cesaro aligns himself with Paul Heyman, who is the most hated guy in the company because of what his guy just did the night before that.
Yeah.
Willing to do whatever. The Shield turn their backs on the Authority, supposedly, and tell Stephanie to stick it.
Yeah.
And because they're going to do whatever's necessary. Daniel Bryan rises up, occupies Raw, does whatever's necessary.
Yeah.
John Cena won't do whatever's necessary.
You make a great point. I mean, I don't know how long they can continue running Cena like this, especially if they're really calling this the reality era.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Cena fan. I'm not one of the guys who just boos him just because he's stale. I respect. Well, he actually even said it in a promo. He said, people tell me they hate my character, but respect what I do. He said that in the WrestleMania.
Yeah, so change your character.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing is I respect him as well. I mean, what the things that he has done, we've talked about this before, the things that John Cena has done for this business and for charities around the world is immeasurable. And he deserves a considerable amount of respect, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But it's time to change, you know? To quote one of my all-time favorites, enough is enough, and it's time for a change, you know? So well, that's my thoughts on it. I think possibly it was a missed opportunity to push Bray Wyatt, but we'll see. They may go into extreme rules with this thing, and he may end up killing Cena.
Yeah,
you know. So who knows?
I think it's definitely gonna, you know, some at extreme rules is gonna happen. Some type of stipulation match. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in how that plays out. I would have liked to see Bray Wyatt win. I'm a Bray Wyatt fan. Cena won though, and you know, I have a theory of why he won.
Uh-huh.
But we'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, okay.
I do have a theory of why he won.
Okay.
But after that happened, it was the match that I wait for every single year at every WrestleMania since WrestleMania 20.
Mm-hmm.
I've waited on this match. I've watched WrestleMania live on pay-per-view for 10 years now, since WrestleMania 20,
mm-hmm,
or The Undertaker returned to the dead man gimmick,
right? Yeah.
Against Kane. This match, the streak, 21-0 versus Brock Lesnar, the Beast Incarnate, with Paul Heyman. Everybody knew who was going to win. The Undertaker would retain his streak. We said it on the podcast before. Doesn't make sense for Brock to beat it.
Yeah.
And so we go into the match. Undertaker, great entrance as always, has the caskets of everybody he's defeated, sets Brock Lesnar's on fire. Whatever happened, you know, happened. Yeah. And
I saw the casket from WrestleMania 29 said Phil Brooks on it.
It didn't, but that'd be cool. That would be cool. You can catch Phil Brooks on The Talking Dead. Anyway, so Taker makes his entrance. The match begins. Kind of a slow build, though, in the match.
And I'm not sure exactly whether that was because Undertaker had gotten hurt early in the match. I mean, as we found out later, he had legitimately gotten injured in the match and had a concussion and a neck injury or something of that sort. It definitely wasn't one of the finer performances in terms of, you know, defending the streak. But I also think it speaks to the story that was being told. And
Undertaker, you're too old.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is one of those things, and again, that's why I love Paul Heyman, and I love that it seems like they're giving Paul Heyman sort of the creative freedom to do whatever he wants with his character as long as it fits within the parameters of their direction, because Paul Heyman had been saying, he even said on that Raw before WrestleMania, he said, this is an exact quote, Brock Lesnar is going to end the streak at WrestleMania, and that's not a prediction, that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
Listen to Paul Heyman. Now Paul Heyman's out there saying Brock Lesnar will be the next World Heavyweight Champion. That's a spoiler.
Yeah.
I mean, and you have Taker come out, I think the lack of build for the match itself speaks a little bit to this sort of I can kind of go into this thing and go through the motions. All the caskets being laid out, including Brock Lesnar's ready for him. I can kind of come into this thing and go through the motions. In a way, it was sort of like, you know, Undertaker, this is not going to last forever. And it didn't.
It didn't. So let's break it down.
Yeah.
Undertaker's about to hit with a tombstone. We think the match is going to be over. Obviously, the 1-2-3 was coming. We all knew it was coming. 75,000 people knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
We were just waiting on exactly how was it going to do it this year.
Yeah.
Brock reverses it, hits him with a third F5.
Mm-hmm.
And when he picked him up and he hit him with the F5,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of me was like, a third F5? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, that's kind of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock doesn't hesitate. There was no hesitation. I figured, boom, third F5. Brock's out, Undertaker's out, right? Then Undertaker sits up, and the crowd goes crazy. Cutthroat, tombstone,
mm-hmm.
1-2-3.
Yeah, like on the video game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that. And anyway, Brock doesn't hesitate to cover, goes for the pinfall. The referee counts one, he counts two, and he counts three. And literally 75,000 plus were silent. I was silent. I was staring at Brock's music didn't hit instantly. They didn't say anything instantly. And they were showing everyone's faces.
And then you heard, then a couple of seconds go by, and you hear a second loud gasp from the crowd.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch it, you'll hear it. You can't see what they're looking at. But what they were looking at was when the 21-1 graphic came up. And that was the moment when everybody in that place collectively sharded themselves.
Oh, my Lord. And then Justin Roberts announces the winner of this match, Brock Lesnar. Lesnar's music hits. Paul Heyman's in shock.
Paul Heyman's reaction.
It was amazing. Paul Heyman was a star in that match. The streak is over.
Listen, still I'm a little speechless now.
Me too.
Talking about this. And that's why I wanted to pull up an exact quote from an article that was written the morning after this on WWE.com. And I think that this pretty much sums up the way I haven't seen anything else written yet that sums it up better. And this is the quote. There's a story about the night Bruno Sammartino lost the WWE title to Ivan Koloff in Madison Square Garden to end his 11-year reign as champion. The crowd was so quiet, you could hear the whoosh of the cars passing on the street outside. A new generation of fans will talk about the night The Undertaker lost and the same reverence. The sound of 75,000 rowdy people going silent all at once is indescribable. To see the streak end was the single most shocking moment in the grand history of WWE. No one imagined it could happen. And
that sums it up perfect.
To me, I feel like you – I mean – I was watching at home with my friends, and I literally had a good friend of mine, Rico, just sort of clutching on to me like he had just witnessed a horrific accident.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And this is one of those things where it's like, you should know what you're watching is scripted.
Yeah.
You should know what you're watching is predetermined. But this meant so much to so many people.
Yeah.
To me, this is the single most historic moment in the history of professional wrestling.
I have to agree, man.
I mean, what do you compare it to? When Hogan turned and dropped that leg at Bash of the Beach 96 and the NWO? I mean, what do you compare? I mean, WWE.com had to go all the way back to Bruno.
Yeah, because so in what recent memory, yeah, no one was like, no one's seen this.
I mean, what do you compare it to? This, the, and... Even now, I feel myself getting a little verklempt, if you will, about this whole thing. Because, I mean, come on. The Undertaker was such a huge part of our childhood, of our lives as wrestling fans. This streak and the importance of it can't be measured in words. And nobody expected this to happen. And that's why, in my opinion, it was the greatest thing they could have possibly done. Was to end it and end it now and... From what I understand, and I could be wrong, it was Taker's decision to pass the torch or have the streak ended to Brock. I don't know if you could call it a passing of a torch, but certainly ending the streak. And, man, I don't know what else to say, Brad.
Dude,
I mean, it's just
when that happened, I sat there for a good 3 minutes just staring at the screen, waiting for Hogan to come out, waiting for something to happen, like, oh, no. We got to restart this match.
Yeah.
Something. But, you know, he beat him clean. So there was, like, nothing that I could say. And when it was final, 21-1 graphic is up. Michael Cole said the streak is over. Undertaker's just left there laying in the ring. He gets up. You could see tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
Everyone stands up giving a standing ovation as he walks out. And I posted this on my Instagram.
Yeah.
There was a graphic where Undertaker's walking back up the ramp. And it was, like, the moment my heart broke. And it was almost like that as a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
You see it and you're like, what? It's almost like akin to a president being assassinated in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it's like, whoa.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I'll say, I don't know whether I can endorse that, but I will say, I will say that, that it was definitely a moment that made grown men cry. It was a moment that made people leave WrestleMania before
people
the main event. And, you know, the thing about The Undertaker is that over time, growing up and watching him and coming to love and respect the character of The Undertaker, you truly believed that he was immortal.
Yeah.
When that music hit, unconsciously, we as wrestling fans suspend reality. We suspend all notions of reality, and everybody convinces themselves that, well, the streak has to last because of legacy and because of The Undertaker's importance to the business and because he still has this to do and he still has this opponent to face and he still has Sting coming up, you know,
yeah.
And he's still got this and John Cena should be the guy to break the streak. And you have all these theories, and what we lose sight of is that he's not immortal.
Yeah.
What we lose sight of is that he can't do this forever, and all streaks are meant to be broken.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And the bottom line is that maybe The Undertaker isn't undefeated at WrestleMania anymore, but there will never be another streak of 21 consecutive victories at WrestleMania, at least in our lifetime.
You know, yes.
And it, to kind of pick the mood up in the room a little bit, Brad, something that I was telling everybody about and nobody wanted to listen. There was another streak on the line
at
WrestleMania, and that was The Miz's.
The Miz's streak is over.
4-0 at WrestleMania. He had an opportunity to carry the banner forward.
Exactly. And he fucked it up.
Yeah, he did. He did.
But
great job, Miz.
Thanks, Miz.
Yeah.
We had to see two streaks into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Which
man.
One were you more broken up about, Brad?
Miz.
Yeah.
Duh. I was like, oh my. No, but back on Taker, yeah. It was funny because I actually immediately texted you, and I texted a couple other people, including my girlfriend, and she's like, what are you so sad about? Wrestling's fake. And I'm
oh,
like, whoa.
God. So, and then you broke up with her.
Yeah. I did. No. No, I was like, well, hey, so is Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But when Heisenberg finally was killed, I was a little sad that the series was over.
Yeah. You know, there's like, I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones. I'm a Game of Thrones fan. There was this scene last year in one of the last episodes of the season called The Red Wedding. And in which a prominent family on the show, the main characters of the show, are all brutally assassinated in a room at the same time. And it's one of those moments where they're the protected characters. I mean, that's the show is built around these people. Nothing could ever happen to them. And then all at the same time, they are brutally stabbed to death. And the reaction on Twitter when that happened was social media broke. And watching, I mean, once I was able to come out of that haze of what I just witnessed, because none of it really seemed real for about 15 minutes, honestly. Yeah. God, I feel bad for the divas that had to follow that.
Oh, no, and here's the thing. No match, I don't care what it was, Stone Cold and The Rock and Hulk Hogan could have had a triple threat match after that, and no one would have cared as
much. Do you think that the guys that were involved in this, the ones who knew that this was going to happen, they could have anticipated that type of reaction?
I think that you'd have to know, right? Especially like that one guy in the front row who had the glasses and he had these bug eyes and it went viral when Undertaker lost. He was shot. I mean, everybody, I mean, collectively, we all had our air taken out from under us. You know?
It's because of moments like that I love professional wrestling. Sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. It's because of moments like that, because we witnessed history live. And maybe it's just history in our own world and in our own fanhood, but that is a moment that will be talked about long after I'm dead.
Yeah. No, it's going to be one of those moments that they refer to forever.
Forever. And we got to see it, and we got to live it, and we got to experience it. And thank you, Vince McMahon, and thank you, Mark Calloway, for that opportunity.
Yeah, it was awesome. Now, let me ask you this. What did you think about it being Brock?
Well, you know, people will say, well, why'd they turn it over to a part-timer? Well, number one, I mean, Taker decided. And number two, The Undertaker's a part-timer now as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
More so than Brock.
Yeah, I mean. I was fine with it. I've always been a huge Brock Lesnar fan.
Me too.
Brock Lesnar has created a lot of crossover buzz for the WWE. He's a hell of an athlete. And could Undertaker pick a better person? I mean, think about it. The guy was an NCAA heavyweight champion. He was the UFC heavyweight champion. Knocked out Randy Couture 3 fights into his career.
Yeah. Won the WWE Championship 4 months into his professional wrestling career.
Yeah, was a couple of steps away from being a walk-on professional football player at the Minnesota Vikings. The guy is pretty much one of the greatest athletes in any sport ever. Props to Brock for breaking the streak. I think it was a good choice. I mean, who else right now could they choose to break that streak? That honestly would be more believable from a standpoint of this guy could really fuck me up in a fight.
Yeah, there's nobody.
I mean, when we did the podcast together last time, I said, well, you know, Bray Wyatt would be a great person to hand it off to if they were going to invest in him as like the top heel forever. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and I said beating the streak makes you a heel for all of eternity.
Yeah. And now Brock will be a heel for all of eternity.
And on another podcast,
and he's okay with that.
Another podcast I did about the streak, I said beating the streak. I mean, the streak match was always more important for the past 5-6 years than the heavyweight title matches, right? And I said beating the streak is like being the WWE World Heavyweight Champion for life.
Yeah.
You can never take that away from Brock Lesnar. And Paul Heyman, for that matter. Do you think this solidifies Paul Heyman as the greatest wrestling manager of all time?
See, that gets thrown around a lot, and I love Paul
Heyman.
It's
between him and Heenan.
But I still think Paul Heyman has a lot of work to do before you can call him that because of Heenan's contributions to professional wrestling. I mean, Bobby Heenan is just, God, if you just go back and just look at on the network and old tapes and stuff, the magic that Bobby Heenan created in so many different scenarios, from managing to commentating, from his chemistry with Gorilla Monsoon to his work with Ric Flair. I mean, Bobby Heenan is the, let's put it this way, Bobby Heenan is the, he's the Wilt Chamberlain of
wrestling
managers, and Paul Heyman is quickly becoming the Michael Jordan.
I'll go with that. I like it.
You know,
I'll take that. Let's transition. I mean, the streak, yeah, though, I hated to see it end, but, you know, once I had time to kind of take it all in, it had to end.
Hey, listen, they talked about it on Good Morning America.
They talked about it on everything. I was getting my haircut yesterday. It was on 104 KRB. They were talking about it.
Yeah.
Stations in New York. My opening segment at the Debonair Lounge, plug, was about the Undertaker's losing the streak. I mean, everybody who hadn't been wrestling fans, who hadn't watched in years, were talking about, oh my Lord, the Undertaker lost.
Yeah.
It was, I didn't know Undertaker was that big of a star to the other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Undertaker's a huge star, and we didn't even know it.
It's you know, people, there are a lot of people out there, last thing I'll say about this, there are a lot of people out there that are very upset that the streak came to an end because they think that it tarnishes Undertaker's legacy. I think the streak ending and the overwhelming reaction that it has caused
added to it.
I think all that does is it cements the Undertaker as one of the all-time greats. As it, he didn't need it, but now it's kind of like, damn. I mean, this guy gets to look back. Most people, when they do great things in their life, Brad, they don't get to look back at their contributions from a perspective of everybody else sort of celebrating them until after they're gone.
Yeah.
The Undertaker has a rare opportunity to be able to look back, and if it even matters to him, and I don't know whether it does or not, to look back at this and look at the reaction and say, God damn, there are a lot of fucking people who love me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the fact that we were all so emotionally affected by a scripted ending.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's amazing, man.
Most shocking moment in WrestleMania history has to be. And
yeah, I agree.
Taker's last match or no?
I think so.
I think it has to be, right?
I think so.
What a better way to go out.
I'd like to see him one more time in some sort of farewell capacity, but there's what point? What point is left? I mean, people will still talk about the Sting thing. There's so many other things they can do with Sting.
Yeah.
But it's just time, I think.
Well, then the Divas match follows it. Which the crowd was dead silent.
Then the commentary on the Divas match follows this.
And, man, that was hard to get through, the Divas match. And you know what's kind of weird? For some reason, with the success of Total Divas, and I'm not going to lie, I watched the show.
I love Total Divas.
I think it's an awesome show. I was actually kind of excited for once to see the Divas match at Mania. I was like, they got to give it to Nikki Bella.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
There have been weeks, not leading up to Mania, but, you know, in that kind of tweener area between Elimination Chamber and such,
yeah,
and Rumble, where I missed Raw, but I never missed one episode of Total Divas. It's a great show, man.
It's an awesome show. Yeah. And they didn't show it on Sunday because of WrestleMania, yeah, but great show. AJ Lee retains against 13 other competitors,
mm-hmm,
her Divas Championship. Whoop-de-whoop-de-woo. We go to the main event, Triple Threat.
Yada, 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 bing, bum, bing, bum, bing.
Whatnot, whatnot, one, yeah, two, three. But no, we go into the main event, the Triple Threat, Daniel Bryan, Batista.
You going to do the Divas like that?
I am. And Randy Orton. We'll talk about Divas again and Randy Orton. Thoughts on the Triple Threat match?
Oh, man.
Dead for the first half, the crowd was.
Yeah, well, that's to be expected, considering some of the people there had killed themselves.
Yeah.
But that was a great match, man. Listen, everybody in that match, and you know what I mean when I say this, was well protected.
Mm-hmm.
Gave everybody enough time to kind of catch their wind when they need to, and at,
yes,
the same time put on a great performance, hit their spots. The Batista bomb into the reverse RKO.
Awesome.
Amazing. And Randy Orton looked like he killed himself on those huge monitors, which a friend of mine had pointed out. He's like, It's 2014. Why do they still have those giant box monitors
from the 60s?
I don't know.
They need to look at iPads. So I guess because they still need something to look cool to pull out.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I guess they don't want MacBook Pros getting bashed every week when the Spanish announce table gets crushed. But, no, I mean, it was a great match. It was the storybook finish. I loved it. I mean, I loved it.
I love the stretcher spot.
It was great.
I love bringing Scott Armstrong back.
Yeah, yeah. A Triple H getting hit with the sledgehammer.
Yes.
And Stephanie taking a bump. Come on.
It was an awesome match. Daniel Bryan wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Everyone chanting, yes, 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 yes. And it was a storybook ending, but I think people were still like, glad to see Daniel Bryan won, but The Undertaker lost.
Yeah. Yeah, it still overshadowed it. But it was one of those things where I've had the privilege over the last, let's say, 2 years or so to work in independent wrestling and be around a lot of these guys who, you know, came up with Daniel Bryan and that type of stuff. And I've seen their stories, and in many ways they're similar to where Daniel Bryan was.
Yeah.
And I have a great affection for some of those guys still. Some of them have become very good friends of mine. And so to see Daniel Bryan in that moment and to see the true emotion on his face, it really hit me because I'm thinking about some of my friends that, you know, have struggled and continue to struggle and go through that because they want that someday. And there's Daniel Bryan, who achieved it, and that next night on Raw when it opens and they're chanting, you deserved it, or you deserve it, you know. And just the incredible payoff there from the personal story to the fact that we made this happen. Now, WWE may have made it happen their way, but if it wouldn't have been for all of those people chanting Daniel Bryan and yes on that Raw after the night he got kicked in the face and lost in 18 seconds.
Yeah.
This would have never happened. This has been a 24-month journey from that point to here, and it's because he worked his ass off and showed up every day, and every single person who bought a ticket and bought a T-shirt and bought a pay-per-view stayed engaged and stayed behind this guy. It was like he won a fucking election. In a lot of ways, it really felt that way.
Yeah.
And so it was just awesome to see that. You know, it was really cool. I mean, one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time.
Yeah, in my opinion, it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. What do you give it out of 10?
Oh, man.
8.5, 9?
Yeah, somewhere in there. I'll give it a 9. Yeah, I'll give it a 9. I mean, honestly, I may even give it a 10. I don't know what to compare it to. Like, when I think about other WrestleManias, right now, off the top of my head, I can't think of one that was better than this. WrestleMania 17 to me is the greatest WrestleMania.
Agreed.
But it's hard to argue that this one wasn't as entertaining.
It was definitely as entertaining.
You know, and then from start to finish, from starting the show with Rock, Hogan, and Austin in the ring at the same damn time, and then following that up with Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, come on.
Yeah.
Then Cesaro wins the Battle Royal, and... And then the streak ends in the most shocking moment in wrestling history. And then Daniel Bryan wins the belt. Man, what else do you want?
I mean, you can't really ask for more. Yeah. But what you can do is tune into Raw the next night.
Yeah.
Because it was awesome as well.
Yeah.
Show opens with Daniel Bryan. Triple H said he's going to take the belt off of Bryan because he's going to wrestle him for the title tonight, which was cool. I just want to highlight some certain points about Raw. What about that Raw stuck out to you?
The first thing that I thought about, a friend of mine was texting me earlier today, and he said, you know, it was a really good Raw and I liked it, but I was just disappointed that I didn't get to see Sting. And I said to him, here are my thoughts behind this. And again, I could be completely off, but I think that last night's Raw and what stuck out to me, what I think it was about the future. It was about all these guys that I've talked about that are ready now to seize the day and become the next top stars and lead this company into a whole new generation. And that's why I don't think you saw Sting last night, because I don't think they needed Sting. I think what you saw last night was a young world heavyweight champion flanked by three incredible young athletes in the Shield.
Yep.
You saw all these older guys who are part of the Authority, who got their ass kicked last night, who got their ass kicked at WrestleMania. And then Paige, what a moment.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. AJ's in the ring.
Yeah.
Talking about how she defeated. She's still the champion. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Paige from NXT, who's the current NXT. Well, I don't know anymore. Well, yeah, I guess she still is technically.
I think so.
Yeah, lose the belt some kind of way.
Yeah.
Current NXT women's champion. Women's champion. I just want to make note of that. And she comes out to AJ, wants to congratulate AJ. AJ's being a little biatch, right? She said, you know what? As a post-WrestleMania thing, you're going to have a match with me, and I'm going to put the title on the line.
Did you appreciate AJ's CM Punk-style promo?
Yes.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
She's great. You know, everyone was chanting CM Punk when she was talking to. But anyway, Paige beats her in a matter of 2-3 minutes, not that long. Yeah. I expected it, though. I mean, when she came out and started talking, yeah. I'm like, well, I kind of, in my wrestling brain, was kind of like, okay,
yeah,
I know where this is going.
Me too.
I know, so I was
still very happy.
I was still very happy to see her win.
Yeah.
Match was okay.
Well, it was short. I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah, you couldn't really get a lot out of it. Yeah. But I love the 1-2-3, AJ's surprise, Paige, new Divas Champion, making her debut on Raw.
Yeah.
And being the Divas Champion.
Yeah.
Maybe akin to Gail Kim.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And but anyway, man, yeah, that was a cool moment. I really like that. I like to see where that's going to go. Makes me interested in the Divas division.
Yeah. No, I mean, they have done a great job from top to bottom rebuilding the tag division, making the Divas division interesting to people through Total Divas and just the characters that they have right now in the Divas division.
I'm a Nikki Bella fan myself. I'm just gonna put that out there.
I'm a Natty Neidhart fan.
I'm a fan of Natty.
You know, I think at some point she deserves to get the strap on her. You know, the thing is, man, what stood out to me last night, examples like that. The younger talent shining, the younger talent taking the banner. Roman Reigns with that big ass spear on Triple H.
Awesome.
Would love to see those two work a couple of matches together.
We saw the vignettes for Bo Dallas and Adam Rose coming up from NXT.
Listen,
Bo Dallas, the brother of Bray Wyatt, of course.
Well, you know, Bo Dallas, not so excited, but Adam Rose, absolutely.
Yeah,
what a great character.
What a great. Have you seen his entrance?
No.
You should watch his entrance on NXT.
It's good.
Coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
comes out like a big party. Comes out with everybody.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
See, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So that happened. Cesaro, who, to me, when he won the Battle Royal and turned on Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter, became a babyface. Not like he already kind of was.
Yeah.
But then aligns himself as the newest Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah, great.
After Paul Heyman did that great promo with Brock in the ring,
yeah,
saying, I told you.
Yeah.
A 21-1.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar,
obviously
future WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah,
I see that him being the guy to take it off Bryan.
I think it'd be great.
Bryan will win it back, of course. But
I think it'd be great.
It'd be awesome.
Talk about a great underdog story. David versus Goliath right there, and he could kill Bryan somehow, and it's just the whole come up, I got to get this thing back, that type of thing. Maybe they even have a deal where for a while Daniel Bryan loses his smile, you know, kind of goes away. I mean, they could do so many things with it, but you know, again, the magic of Paul Heyman, the most difficult crowd of the year to control is that Raw after Mania, and he just shut everybody up.
Yep.
And then, after being full heel, comes out to that gigantic pop, because even though you hate what he represents in the ending of the streak, you still love and respect Paul Heyman, and you know that when Paul Heyman gets with somebody, they're going to be made. You can't say that much for Rybacksel, but, you know, it just about everybody else, that's the case.
Yeah.
And it's great. I can't wait to see those two work together. I don't know if that's a sign that maybe Brock's going to go away again for a while or what, but
Maybe a little bit and come back SummerSlam time.
But that's okay with me, because getting to see Paul Heyman and Antonio Cesaro together every week is going to be great television. King of Swing.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't tell you my theory about John Cena winning against Bray Wyatt. I know we're off kilter real quick.
Oh,
here's my theory.
Yeah.
Real quick, you had to have some more babyface pop if you're going to kill the streak. You know what I mean? They got to see their childhood hero win.
Yeah.
If their other one's going to die.
That's a great point.
And then you sandwich it in between John Cena winning and Daniel Bryan winning. I know all the smarks didn't want to see Cena win, but the main general fan base likes Cena enough. But anyway, that was just my theory.
But do they?
I think they do. He still sells out of merchandise, man.
But that's because he has cool merchandise.
I don't know. You like neon green?
I got a neon green cell phone.
Well, that is true.
Yeah. No, I like bright colors.
I like bright colors. I just bought some highlighter yellow shoes. Tennis shoes.
I've got Blue's Clues socks on, man.
Those are actually pretty nice socks.
You know, thanks. I like bright colors. I think he has cool merchandise. I mean, I'm not a fan of the character, and I've got some John Cena gear because I think he has cool merchandise.
I like Cena. I think most people like Cena. When I went to the SmackDown tapings and John Cena came out here in Houston, didn't hear any boos.
Well, that's because I was at the SmackDown tapings last year here in Houston, and when Cena came out, huge pop. Sheamus. Huge pop. It's because there was a lot of kids in the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, for whatever reason, those SmackDown tapings, or maybe it's just something that's
so
Houston.
Wait, is Cena now Hulk Hogan and Sheamus the Ultimate Warrior?
That's an interesting point.
Is that what
I would have thought Ryback would have been the Ultimate Warrior, but then he had a Ryback collapse.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
He ride-backed his way down the car is what he did.
Feed me more. He ate too much.
He ate too much, exactly. Yeah. Besides that, some great stuff, though, on that Raw, man.
It was incredible.
I'll predict it right now. Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. Brock's the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I like it. I like it. I hope to see it.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's got to. Any closing words, Matt Topolsky, about WrestleMania, the Raw after, Hall of Fame, any of it?
All I'll say is this is why we're wrestling fans, and this is why I am so freaking pumped to be able to work with you at Reality of Wrestling now. And
April 19th is the next show with Scott Steiner.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see the Big Bad Booty Daddy in action.
Oh, yeah, Big Papa Pump will be there.
Yeah.
You can buy your tickets right now at realityofwrestling.com. We're almost sold out.
Wow.
We're almost sold out, so you need to go get your tickets
now. And we're marching straight ahead, man, to that big pay-per-view.
July 26th?
Yeah.
The Humble Civic Center.
That's it. Humble Civic Center. Beautiful venue. And, got goosebumps already.
Already the first ever Reality of Wrestling I pay-per-view will be July the 26th at the Humble Civic Center.
Yes.
Make sure you also look out for that when tickets are available. RealityWrestling.com, all updates. But, yeah, this is why we're wrestling fans. Matt Topolsky, we witnessed history Sunday night. The Undertaker is no longer undefeated at WrestleMania. I believe it's his last match. And what a career.
And the only question that remains from all of this is, when do we see Sting and what will he do?
And are we even going to see him?
Oh, I think we'll see him.
You think so? Has he signed? Do you think he signed a deal?
I think he has. I think he has. There's so many possibilities.
Oh, I was thinking he was going to come out at WrestleMania, and I was going to freak out.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, you got Evolution and The Shield going at each other.
So is Evolution back together, too?
I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I'm hoping that's what's going to happen.
Bring Flair isn't a manager? I'll love it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they'll do that, but I could see a scenario where maybe the Shield gets beaten down a little bit. They're losing in the numbers game, and all of a sudden, this black haired, white face painted man with a baseball bat comes out and needs to take care of business.
That'd be awesome. Oh, it'd be awesome.
A boy can dream. Living in 1996 can dream.
Can fantasy book. Will Matt Topolsky, TP, as Booker refers to you.
Yes,
it's better than Tom.
Yes.
I appreciate you talking about Mania with me, man.
Thank you for having me on, Brad.
And the streak is over, ladies and gentlemen, but the world of wrestling still is spinning.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So we'll catch you next time. Tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand every Monday morning. We have a great show coming up for you this Monday. And always look out for the new stuff on the Fake Monday Mornings podcast here, like this WrestleMania 30 recap with the voice of Reality of Wrestling, Matt Topolsky.
Oh,
you've moved up.
No,
you've moved up.
No, I can't take that. I can't take that title.
Anyway, Matt, appreciate you, man. Y'all tune in next time.